This meeting is now being recorded.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup Call for February 28th, 2012, sorry, 2018, at 1300 UTC. We have the agenda in front of us, so let's review it. First, after the review of the agenda, of course, will come our administrative minute. Then really the bulk of the call, which will be to resolve the remaining open items in the report, as which are more specifically noted in the chart that was also sent around. Then we'll cover the steps needed to submit the subgroup report on or before the 2nd of March, which is the deadline. We'll go to AOB, and then we'll adjourn. Any comments on the agenda before we move to the next item? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is our administrative minute. So first, I'll ask if there are any changes to statements of interest. So I see no changes to statements of interest. I'll ask if there is anybody who is on audio only.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Greg.
Yes?
This is Kogus. I'm an audio breach.
This is Kogus. I'm an audio breach for this time.
Okay, thank you very much. That is all, and Kogus is showing up in the Adobe Connect because he got a dial-out. Sorry about the echo. I should have muted while Caboose was speaking. I'm on a tablet, and that's what happened. So I will try to get on the phone link before too long into the call, but that will take a little time. So let me see if there is anyone. There are no phone number only participants. Everyone has been named, so that's good. Why don't we then move on to the next item in the call? I think in this case, which is the to resolve the remaining open items in the report. I think it's probably best to work from the chart for that purpose. So if we could, if staff could put up the chart in the Adobe Connect room, that would be very helpful.
Is this the chart you want, Greg?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Greg, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get onto the phone line here. Samuel.
Okay, so I'm now on the I'm now on a phone, so hopefully my sound will be a little bit better. So let us start with the first of the items, the first proposed change, where we have revised some of the text referring to sanctions other than OFAC sanctions. And as you can see, the explanation here is, you know, having reviewed what was in the draft immediately after the call, which was sort of, you were drafting on the fly to some extent, the thought was that it really didn't take into account the multiple different kinds of sanctions there could be, some of which could be very different from OFAC sanctions. Also the multiple different types of relief there could be, some of which could be much more difficult even than getting a specific license under OFAC. So the change is that there's now a footnote on page 3 of the document. And we can look at the document as well if people would like that. The footnote is quoted here. It says, in the future, if ICANN is subject to other similar sanctions, e.g. similar in scope, type, and effect, and with similar methods of relief for entities not specifically sanctioned, the spirit of these recommendations should guide ICANN's approach. This footnote is on the first sentence of the section, which is called recommendations relating to OFAC sanctions and related sanction issues, which says that the subgroup considered issues relating relating to government sanctions, particularly U.S. government sanctions, and on the particularly is where the footnote is hung. So I'd like to see if there are any comments or objections to this change. I'm seeing none. I see a comment from Tiago. If ICANN is subject to similar sanctions, it would be more appropriate to say if ICANN's activities are affected by similar sanctions. I would agree with that, since it's not really ICANN that is subject to the sanctions, but rather the potential registry or registrar. So is there any objection to that change? If not, I will make that change in the document. Thank you, Tiago. Okay, so now that says, if ICANN, in the future, if ICANN's activities are affected by other similar sanctions, e.g. similar in scope, type, and effect, et cetera, the rest of the sentence is unchanged. I just kept the word other in there as it changed. So I think that takes care of item one, which is good, and we can move on to item two. Here in item two, we have a change in our recommendation from the report that was put out for public comment. Instead of just providing the idea that there are options for choosing from the menu, including having the contracting party choose or have it be subject to negotiations, we would actually be making a recommendation that that the registry or registrar negotiating that should choose from among the options in the menu. There would be no, i.e., the choice would not be negotiated with ICANN. This was in the prior draft presented in the as the other alternative, which was to continue with the way it was put in the draft that went out for public comment, and so having reviewed, Finn pointed out that it was his recollection that the results of the last calls where this was discussed was, in fact, that there was broad support for changing the recommendation. So I went back and reviewed the transcripts of those calls and agreed with Finn and changed this so that now our revised draft report reflects the sentence that is now inserted, which says the subgroup recommends that the registry choose from among the options on the menu, i.e. the choice would not be negotiated with ICANN. And since we are working our way through the executive summary, this change and the prior change will ultimately need to be reflected in the body of the document itself, which, of course, is what's being summarized here. But that make sure of taking care of the editing that if everything is paralleled so that there isn't something that's only in the summary and not in the report, which would be rather odd. Of course, there can be things in the report that aren't in the summary. That's a different point entirely. So is there any objection to changing the recommendation from the draft report so that it is a recommendation that it is contracting party's choice? I'm seeing no objection on this point, and therefore I think we can take it that we have we can move on to that. So let's move on then to note three. In the document, note three was simply a note that the section describing the work of the group after the draft was submitted to the Abu Dhabi plenary, you know, which was has now been kind of accepted into the document. It was in suggest mode the previous time around, and so I didn't want to completely lose sight of the idea that we were now accepting this. Into it, so I wanted to make sure we essentially confirm the this section, understanding that we have items 4 and item 4.1, which will change or may change this section further. So it's, unless there are, we will move now to that portion of the document. I'm assuming that there are no changes to this section other than what's discussed in item 4, and then we have a discussion that we need to have about item 4.1. Item 4, we added a sentence following the mention of the Abu Dhabi plenary that as a result of these discussions, the section further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns was added to the draft report, suggesting a path forward for these concerns beyond the CCWG accountability through a further other multi-stakeholder process. So, would like to see if there are any comments on this addition, any objections to this addition, which or any support for this addition, but I think it seems fairly innocuous, I think. So I'll see if there are any objections or any if anybody wishes to make any comment on it. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone raising objections to this sentence, so I think we can take it that the sentence and item. Oh, I see a hand from Tiago. Tiago, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Tiago speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I've just commented on the chat what I think would be a useful suggestion for this paragraph. I agree with the sentence that the sentence should be added, as you suggested, Greg, but I believe it should be reorganized. It should not appear where it is currently appearing in the paragraph. My suggestion is explaining more detail in the chat. The main point is that if we keep the new edition as it, where it currently is, it would give the impression that the draft report was approved by the plenary already including the addition, which was not the case. The admission by the subgroup and eventually by the plenary that further discussions on jurisdiction-related concerns are needed came after the plenary held its meeting. So to cut it short, I think my proposed paragraph, as it appears in the chat, would solve this problem. Thank you.
Well, let's all take a minute to read what's in the chat here. Okay, well, I guess the issue as I see it is that what was sent out for public comment ultimately was, I believe, approved by the plenary. I guess we'd have to go back and look at the, maybe not the plenary as it was constituted in Abu Dhabi, but for the report as a whole to have been sent out for public comment as it was approved by the plenary. Tiago?
Yes, thank you. This is Tiago speaking again. You see, the main point is the reference to the new added text should come certainly after Brazil's dissent is referenced in the report. Because when Brazil dissented and explained the reasons why it was dissenting against the report, had not included at that time the new text. So that's why I think we should reorganize the sentence and explain that the and reference this new added text to the report after we mentioned Brazil's dissent. Thank you.
I see your point now. Okay. I see this primarily as a reordering. This may need a little more work just to make sure that it notes that the maybe we may need just one more short sentence that says that this that the report as amended was then approved by the plenary and sent out for consensus, sent out for public comment rather. So I'd suggest adding something like that, just so that it doesn't, that would just, I think close the loop, as it were. So I think that, that makes sense, in terms of, describing the process, and since this is the intent of this section is to describe the process, we might as well be as, accurate, or just get it right. So that, I think, takes care of that. Any objections, to Tiago's revision with my addition of a sentence stating that the report as amended was approved by the plenary and sent out for public comment. And I'm seeing no objection, so that will be repaired, and it's my intention to get this out on the list as a stable final draft, just for people to check that that this call has been reflected appropriately as soon as possible after the call but consistent with my other obligation. In any case, let us move on then to item 4.1. I believe you all should have scroll control. Item 4.1 is a suggestion which I believe as it currently stands, it did evolve somewhat over time as it was in the group, that comments by other countries in support of the further jurisdiction-related discussions, in particular immunity, should be specifically referenced, and also reference similarly the contrary voices of those that did not support. And also suggested that perhaps there should be a further discussion or perhaps analysis that these contrary voices are not really contrary to Brazil's dissent, suggesting this should be made explicit in the report. I will note in the meeting of February 7th, we were visited by our co-chair, Thomas Rickard, on behalf of the co-chairs, who noted that it is not the practice of the CCWG or any of the subgroups to actually discuss the substance of comments in the reports, but for any changes to be reflected in the report that are caused by the comments. And the comments themselves, of course, are made available as an annex or link from the report, so they can, of course, speak for themselves. So we don't really have any text proposed for 4.1, so I'd like to see if there's any support for this beyond Tiago, or at least I assume Tiago still supports this as it was his point, but it was perhaps as things have moved on, that may change. I don't know. So I'll take a hand from Tiago. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago speaking for the record. Just a clarification request, more in the sort of a procedural question. You explained that the subgroup will not comment on the substance of the comments received, which I understand might be the practice of the subgroups. But my question is, how do we make sure and show to the public that we took into account their comments? I understand that several comments were taken on board and they came to be reflected in the revised, they will be reflected in the revised version of this report. But what about the comments that were not taken on board? How do we make sure we've addressed them? Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I guess there's two parts of that. Actually, I'll turn to Bernie to explain a little bit more detail what is being done to our comment tool, which will have a new column in it. But primarily, the comments are taken into account, but in many cases, the comments don't change the report, and that is just the way the process works. So there really is, other than saying that all comments have been duly taken into account, there's really no acknowledgement that the that any particular comment was or wasn't taken, made a change. Indeed, we don't note where a particular comment has caused a change to be made. Bernie, if you could just explain briefly what the comment tool, or what Steve calls the matrix of comments, how that's changing.
Thank you, Greg. As people will have noticed, we published these for the three other subgroups that had public comment period, and these were sent to the plenary, which will be held later today. So what you've got is the comment matrix, a very quick and simple summary responding to that comment, and if there has been a change, and we try to identify the general area if a change has been made. So what we will be doing is preparing one of those comment matrices with those added columns for this group once the work is done here. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Tiago asks, is the comment, which each comment appears either in red or green. Actually, all colors have been removed. Those colors were just our own internal aid memoir, so to speak, so that we could rapidly match up whether the comment was a support, which, of course, would not change the report by definition, or was something other that might change the definition. So it is now a black and white report. Steve DelBianco, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. I fully agree that the comment matrix is the appropriate place to cross-reference whether and how a comment was reflected in the report. And to that end, where the report includes a row for the comments of the French government, I would just ask Bernie and you, Greg, to confirm that in that row of the matrix, there'd be an indication that that comment was reflected in the addition to the report, where we indicated the need for further work. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That seems an appropriate suggestion. Any other comments on that or generally? I see Tiago, your hand is up.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago speaking for the record. I don't think it would be appropriate to add Steve's suggestion to qualify French government comments, in particular because the addition or the recognition that further discussions on jurisdiction-related concerns are needed had already been included in the report prior to the French government submitting its comments. Thank you. So it was not an action of taking into account whatever the French government said. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. Actually, I think that is correct. What we did add was a section in the summary about the process. So that's what was just added, rather than the section on further discussions, which, as Tiago correctly notes, was added after the plenary but before the public comment. So all that we really added this time was just a process description. So I think, Steve, you probably elided the two together. I know everything we try to keep in our heads and reason, sometimes things that sit next to each other appear to make sense, but then we realize they don't. So thank you, Tiago. And I think, Steve, it looks like I think it's essentially withdrawn that suggestion. So any further comment or question on 4.1 and whether there should be any change to the document considered based on the discussion we have just had. I see Tiago is typing. That's why I suggest a specific reference to France and others should come there in the report. Thank you, Tiago. Does anybody else wish to comment on this suggestion or suggest any thing that should be done to the report in connection with 4.1? I'm not seeing specifically, is there any other support for adding a discussion of specific reference to the substance or positions of any comments, and perhaps how those comments relate to either the majority report or the dissent submitted by Brazil. I see from David he supports no change. Anybody else wish to weigh in? Steve Del Bianco says, I do not see a need for a change. Would anybody else like to weigh in? It would be good to have the participants speak to this. Caboose, please go ahead.
Yes, I think the way that expressed by Tiago, I think I tend to support his position. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Well, I don't see any consensus anyway that this any sense that this is getting traction. Plus, of course, we would have to draft something and have it be part of the document that's submitted in 48 hours or so, or 50 hours or so. So it's my sense here that Steve adds, just to be, Steve Del Bianco asks in the chat, just to be clear, we do have proposed text to add, do we? No. We don't have text. Farzana asks, what addition that France supports the recommendation? No, rather that would be a mention of France supporting, well, yes, that France supported the idea of further jurisdiction-related discussion. I think there was a suggestion that there should be a further mention of immunity here, and then there are comments that essentially come in counterpoint to those comments that would also need to be mentioned. And finally, there was a suggestion that these counterpoint comments are not in fact contrary to Brazil's dissent, and that this should be mentioned as well, although I would think we would need to check with the authors of those comments to see whether they agreed with any of those. So essentially we would need to at least, I guess, summarize all comments, at least as they related to the idea of further discussions or further work. So that would be, I guess, what would need to happen if we were to take this path. Caboose, is that a new hand?
Yes, it's a new hand. Yes, I am asking that. Imagine the particular country or entity make comments. Is it possible that we conclude that we have not considered that at all? Or we could say that we have considered mentioning what the comment is, but without expressing that whether it is a support or whether it's a position or whether it's a consensus. But totally ignoring the comment, that means we think that we have not properly treated the essence of the public comments. That means we take some comments into account, some other comments not into account. I'm not asking that majority or minority of a comment, but comment of a country or an entity is its comment. It should be reflected to some extent in order to that the report reflect the reality and the actual situations, not always talking that, oh, everything was 100% agreed, we don't make any changes. The comment has been made. Why we totally refrain not to mention that at all? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. We do mention in page 11 in the discussion of the process that these comments were duly considered and discussed by the subgroup. We don't go into, and of course we have the comment tool, which reflects the result of any of that consideration, whether it made a change in the report. But again, we don't reflect whether there was support from particular comments for particular sections of the report as well. I see comments in the chat. Rafael Beauregard-Lacroix says, summarizing all comments is not really a realistic thing to do considering the deadlines. Do other subgroups do that? The answer to that question is no, and that, you know, essentially as a matter of policy or procedure within the CCWG, that the substance or at least the position or result of comments in any way is not mentioned in the body of a report, but rather taken care of by providing access to the comments and then the comment tool summarizing how the comments were dealt with or considered. Caboose, is that a new hand?
Yes, I'm sorry to come back to that. A comment made by I hope that people would not would not attack me. A comment made by a government, Russia or France or Brazil, is a comment of that country, is in the standard legal process, is a declaration of that country. Whether people agree or not agree, that is another issue. But at least you have to reflect that. That comment was made. What Thiago proposing, saying that comment was made, but there was no agreement to include that, that is another issue. But totally not reflecting, I don't think that people will go back and look at the 30 pages or 20 pages of the public comments and so on and so forth. Some of them we have to reflect without saying that we agree or disagree, or we have not been able to agree, no consensus. We mentioned the issue, the following issue, one or two lines was raised, no consensus was reached, and that's all. That is sufficient for the reader. And that is respecting to the countries, encouraging the countries to make public comment. But if we do that, they don't. They are representing a people, a group of people, and so on and so forth.
Caboose, to clarify, are you suggesting that we should treat government comments differently than all other comments?
Not at all. No. I said if a comment made, you reflect the comment and say that it was agreed, included. If it was not agreed, said no consensus about this. I am not suggesting to make any distinction or priority or inferiority between any other, one single person or millions of persons. But I'm saying that totally ignoring the comment may not be seen as we treat everybody equally. That's what I'm saying. Please kindly do not interpret me differently. I never ask for to give a priority to the government. No, not at all.
Thank you for the clarification. It would seem, though, that in order for, I guess the interpretation is either that all comments are duly considered, even if they don't make a change to the report, or that all comments are ignored, except for those where a change to the report was made. So we would need to mention all comments, or particularly all comments that did not change the report. And I guess the question, I guess, is whether, how we would do this and whether there's a reason to do it only for this section of the report or throughout. And again, considering the fact that this is not the practice of the working group. I see a comment from Farzi in the chat. Yes, but further discussions about jurisdiction could include immunity or not. Other stakeholder groups also supported the further discussions about jurisdiction to happen. I think they the comments, we have to go back to the comment tool to see which comments supported having further jurisdictional discussions of some sort, and whether any comments actually objected to having the further discussions. And I'm not sure what the utility of this is. Tiago notes that there is text here in the chat that I'll read out that he has suggested as follows. The late recognition that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed, in particular on jurisdictional immunities, found echo in several comments received in particular by governments, but the subgroup was unable to pursue further these discussions due to time constraints. David, I see your hand is up.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley speaking. I just wanted to explain a little bit further why I was one supporting no change here. And it's a combination of time. I mean, we have to have a final report by Friday. Complexity, what we're talking about doing. I agree with Caboose that a comment by a government is important, but I also think in the context in which we work, comments by all people are important. And so if we summarize one comment, I think we're going to need to summarize all comments, at least on the topic, if not overall. And that's just a very large undertaking. I agree with what we did on note 4, but on 4.1, I'm just not in agreement. And with respect to what Diago kindly put in the chat, I would even argue over that wording. For instance, I don't know that the word recognition would be right. You know, a late recognition by who? By the whole group? That further talks are needed? I'm not sure that's a correct statement. I think it's a suggestion that we're talking about. And what we're going to deliver to the board is a report that says, here's what we've agreed. We should have language on sanctions. We should have language on governing law. We didn't agree on immunity, but some, and leading with the government of Brazil, suggest further discussions. I mean, it's all there, and the comments are there, and the board works this way with these kinds of public comment topics. I think basically we're done, and I would argue against a change under 4.1. But I respect Caboose, Santiago, and what they're saying. I just don't agree. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David. Any other comments people want to make orally? I do note a comment in the chat from Farzana. I also don't support change. I agree with David. We have recommended further discussions about jurisdiction. I think that is sufficient. I see a hand from Caboose. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry, I think, and thank you very much, David. I also respect you. This is reciprocal. But I would suggest that putting one general paragraph that comments were received in general, therefore, after discussion, there was no consensus to include them. At least the board, they know formally that the comments were received. They know informally because it's part of the public comment. But at least make a cross-reference that we will not be able to include those comments because there was no consensus. But comments are comments. Without saying particular or in particular or preference or non-preference. Having one sentence referring to these comments that receive on the various parts or this part in particular or this part, and we were not able to reach a consensus on that. That is what I'm suggesting to consider kindly. I'm sorry, this time pressure is not very comfortable for us. Every time we want to say this is time pressure. So it is not our problem that we have time pressure. It is circumstances that produce this time pressure, not us.
Thank you, Caboose. I will note again that the report currently says these comments were duly considered and discussed by the subgroup. Where this led to a change in the subgroups or change to the subgroups consensus, the draft report was then changed to reflect the new consensus. So I'm not sure if your suggestion perhaps will be another sentence that says where these comments did not lead to a change in the subgroup's consensus, the draft report did not change. I'm not sure that needs to be said.
Yes. Yes.
Tiago, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago speaking for the record. I'm in agreement with the different points raised by Cavus, but also by David, and in some way with Steve as well, when he explained or felt that there would be a need to say that France's comments were taken into account. Having said that, I'm thinking also at what Fazi has said, perhaps the new paragraph could be added at the end of the whole reorganized sentence that I suggested, explaining that the comments by different stakeholders on the need for further discussions were considered by the subgroup to be already dealt with by the section that had been added prior to the public comment period. So basically restating what David himself acknowledged, that the, and Fazi as well, that the section in which, the section in the report in which there is this suggestion for further discussions, this very section, even though it was included in the report prior to the comments, to the public comments period, this section is at the basis of why the subgroup didn't explore in more detail the comments by France and others. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. We need to try to find a way forward on this. I'm not seeing anything gelling. Perhaps one possibility is, as I remarked to Cavus, a general third sentence that perhaps takes into account your point, Tiago, which is that where the subgroup found that the comments supported the report, no further change was made, and we can make a reference to that, or we could, if we want, make a reference perhaps somewhat less graciously, that where the subgroup disagreed with the comments, or they did not, cause a change to the consensus, that no changes were made to the report. I think they're kind of two separate points, which to some extent some might believe are self-evident. One, that comments that supported the report, or that were already reflected in the report, did not cause further changes. And the same is also true of reports that did not, or comments that did not change the consensus of the group. So if we could, I will try to put together a couple of sentences there, which I would add to the bottom of page 11, where we're discussing the handling of comments, and that perhaps could take care of this, and also give a little bit more recognition, if you will, to those who took the time and effort to make comments, but don't see an explicit recognition in a shift in the report or otherwise that their comments were taken into account, and that might help dispel the impression, which would be unfortunate, that anybody's comments were ignored. So that would be my suggestion for a way to kind of bring the different ideas on this point together. So if there are, I see a hand from Tiago. Please go ahead.
Sorry, it was an old hand.
Okay. I see support from Farzi and David, and also I believe Cavus was commenting on this as well, so I think that may be a middle ground here. So I will draft a couple of sentences, one or two sentences along that line, and again, get this out onto the list as soon as possible so that we can make sure that we do have a report to submit on Friday. And of course, everyone should see what the words themselves are, but it seems like there's support in concept for that approach. So I think we can take that as the result of 4.1 and move on to number 5. So here in number 5, there's text that's proposed to be added at the end of the recommendations on sanctions, which I believe is intended to refer to all of the OFAC sanction-related recommendations, and which was submitted by NCSG, and specifically our participants, Barzan Abadi and Tatiana Tropina. And then I did some editing just for kind of clarity, so that this now reads, when implementing each of the recommendations in this section, their utmost importance to ICANN in carrying out its mission and facilitating global access to DNS should be considered. Taking into account this importance, the implementation phase should start as soon as possible, but in no event later than 6 months after approval by the ICANN board. So that is now a suggested text, and perhaps would be set off slightly from the end of the last recommendation so that it's clear that it refers to all of the recommendations and not just the last of the OFAC recommendations. So are there any comments on this? Any issues with this text, support, objection, discussion, et cetera? There was, you know, so it seems in our last call, I think there was generally support for the paragraph in concept, some recognition that the text needed a little straightening out, and which I've now attempted to do. See, Tiago, is that a new hand? Tiago's hand is down, but we do have Cavus. Cavus, please go ahead.
Yes, I think you invite whether there is any further, any need for further development. I don't think so. You can improve a text 10 times, but I think the idea is clear. So I suggest that if there is no other objection, you take it as proposed and change it last time. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. And I see from Farzana, one of the drafters of the original paragraph, no issues, reads better now. So I think that this text, as edited slightly or reorganized slightly by myself, but I stand on the shoulders of giants in Farzana and Tatiana, is approved, or rather there's no objection to it going in. Seems that we have reached a conclusion here on item 5, which can bring us to item 6, which again is a general note that the stress test, which had been in suggest mode in the prior draft circulated to the subgroup, have now been accepted into the report as final text, subject to one revision that's reflected in item 7. So unless there are objections to including the stress tests at this point, which I don't think there would be, we can move to item 7, which is that a friendly amendment was made on last week's call, which I did not make it into my initial edit of the report after the call, but which was then called to my attention and is now within the report as it was circulated for this call yesterday. That clarifies that any registrar's ability to accept domain registration requests from citizens of any country is still subject to limitations and obligations due to applicable law and registry restrictions. So the point being that taking away the incorrect idea that merely entering into a registrar accreditation agreement with ICANN caused the need to particularly enforce OFAC sanctions. Even if you take that away, there could be other reasons why a particular registrar couldn't take a registration request from a particular country. So this was acknowledged by Steve as a friendly amendment to stress test number one and was accepted as such by him. And so now we just need to see if there is any comment on this change, either in substance or language. Caboose, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm very sorry. Is it possible you read the amendment? What amendment have been made or there has been made? Just if possible.
Yes, I'll read it out a little bit more comprehensively. This is in stress test number one. In stress test number one, the test is that a registrar or registry declines to accept a domain registration because they believe they are subject to sanctions that apply to the ICANN Corporation, e.g. United States OFAC sanctions. Our proposed accountability measure is to have ICANN clarify to registrars that the mere existence of their registration accreditation agreement with ICANN does not require the registrar to comply with sanctions that apply to the ICANN Corporation. This clarification, if credible and legally substantiated, should allow registrars to accept domain name registration requests from citizens of any country, and we now add, subject to limitations and obligations due to applicable law and registry restrictions. So the subject to is the amendment.
Thank you.
We don't want to give the idea that somehow, just because ICANN has given this one advice, that magically all registrars can take all registrations from any country, regardless of any other laws or any registry restrictions. It's kind of like the patient who asks the doctor if he'll be able to play violin after the surgery is over, and the doctor says yes, and the patient says, that's great, I was never able to play the violin before. So our small solution to a problem does not create greater capabilities than otherwise exist. Farzi comments that playing violin is always allowed, and we will ask Farzi to serenade us, perhaps in Puerto Rico, on the violin. So, is there any objection or discussion to this amendment as written? Farzi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. Farzi Abadi speaking. So, when we say subject to limitations and obligation due to applicable law and registry restrictions, what sort of restrictions are we talking about? Are these restrictions that the regulators come up themselves on their own, or are they applying some sort of regulation or complying with regulation? If we could clarify that.
Well, the registry restrictions refers to, and perhaps this could be lengthened a little bit, maybe it's a little bit short. These are restrictions put in place by any specific registry. Particularly, say, the GEOs. I cannot, as a resident and citizen of New York and the United States, also of Canada, but that's a different discussion, I cannot go get a Dot Berlin, no matter how much the registrar might want to sell it to me and how much I want it. I am restricted from getting a Dot Berlin because it is intended only for those. And, you know, conversely, most of folks on this call, except for me, cannot get a .NYC registration because it's only for those in New York City. So that's the registry restrictions, and the applicable laws just means all the laws that actually do apply to any particular registrar, whatever they may be in the country where they're operating. Does that make sense, Farzi?
Yes, it does. So, sorry, I see Kavus's hand is up. I understand that. I just have a concern that, are we saying that the registry is, well, I guess they can, but so they can come up with policies on their own and then restrict domain name registration of certain citizens, or is this, does this policy have to go, has to be in accordance with ICANN policy?
Well, yes, this is getting a little bit into the weeds. I guess the question is, to what extent does ICANN policy prohibit registries from making restrictions, however they, of various types, to who may register in that particular registry? And, you know, some of those are, you know, clearly came up in the applications. Some of them may be related to other concepts. I think, you know, ICANN does not take too heavy a touch, I think, in terms of business practices of registries and registrars beyond, you know, certain things that will, you know, relate to its mission. I don't want to get off into a tangent here, but I think the point is that registries have various restrictions as to who can register in them, and some of those are geographic restrictions, as the ones I mentioned. Others are related to profession or type of business, you know, dot bank, dot law. So there are all sorts of what might be called restricted GTLDs, and that's all that's being referred to here. Caboose, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, correct. With this amendment, which has three parts, subject to applicable law, I have no problem with that. Or subject to the ICANN policies, neither problem with that. But the problem is that registry restrictions, you allow that each registry creating self-demanded restrictions and not get into the discussions or negotiations with any registrar. This is exactly the source of this test point, a test. We went to some registry or registrar. They said that, sorry, there is no OFAC restriction, there is no ICANN policy, but our internal decision was not to negotiate with you. That is dangerous. We don't want to have such an open arrangement that we will be at the mercy of any registry or registrar without recourse to applicable law, without recourse to the ICANN policy, just saying that, sorry, this is my personal or internal decision, a management decision. We have been told by a registrar that this is a decision by our financial department. What's that? So we don't want this friendly amendment. So please kindly delete the registry restrictions, and I have no problem with subject to applicable law and subject to ICANN policy, something which is not subjective, something which has a basis, something which is not unilaterally decided, something which takes into account of the very origin and the basis of this stress test. So I cannot agree with this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think, of course, registries can engage in all sorts of restrictions as long as it doesn't violate their contract with ICANN and the policies that are, you know, consensus policies that are made part of those agreements. So perhaps what we could say is registry restrictions that are valid under, you know, pursuant to ICANN policy. I suppose, you know, a registry could not put in place a restriction that would essentially be a breach of contrast or contrary to consensus policy. Farzi says, yes, I have the same concerns as Caboose, but registries come up with their own policies, so I don't know how to solve this. Can we just delete registry restrictions? It is implied anyway. Well, I think what we're talking about is the registry's ability. So how the registry chooses to restrict that ability itself perhaps is implicit, as I think Farzi states, and that the real point here, primary point, is that even if registries and registrars understand that OFAC sanctions do not affect them merely because they are party to a contract with ICANN, that there may still be other laws that affect them. So perhaps it would be, again, trying to find a middle ground here appropriate to end the sentence after applicable law, so that we're not kind of getting into the thorny questions of registry restrictions, which are really not part of our discussion otherwise, except for, as Caboose notes, the unfortunate issue that registries have put in place restrictions that in part or may have been inspired by an incorrect understanding of application of OFAC and the effect of the their contract with ICANN. So perhaps rather than opening up a bunch of possible interpretations of what we mean by registry restrictions and how it relates to valid versus invalid registry restrictions and yada, 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 we should just end the sentence with applicable law. Any objection to that amendment to the amendment? I'm seeing no objection to amending the amendment so that it ends at applicable law. We leave out the discussion or mention of registry restrictions, which would get us down a rabbit hole or leave impressions that would be unfortunate in a stress test and recommendation that's intended to get rid of potential misimpressions. We shouldn't add to the fire that we're trying to put out. So I think that with Section 7, then the friendly amendment is taken but further amended to subject to limitations and obligations due to applicable law, period. So that, I believe, takes us through the chart. And I think that we have managed, I believe, to resolve each of these points in concept, at least. I recognize that there will need to be a double check in reading the draft that comes out after this meeting to make sure that things are properly captured. More eyes on the document, the better, since the last review captured a couple of changes that weren't quite made correctly. I hope there won't be any in this, but I do ask everyone review that. Tiago, your hand is up. We do have more on the agenda, by the way. Tiago's hand is down. Let's go back to the agenda so that we can get to the remaining items, see what they are. Of course, the agenda is also in the notes pod, so we can see from there that the next thing is steps needed to submit revised subgroup report to plenary on 2nd of March. 2nd of March being absolutely the last point at which a subgroup can submit report so that it can be considered by the plenary and made part of our working group's final report. which then you know, gets all bundled up and moves through the process. So essentially we have, it's now about, I guess, 1300 or 1400 hours, UTC. I'm still drinking my first cup of coffee, so I'm not doing my conversion quite perfectly. I think this needs to be submitted. Bernie can tell us, but certainly no later than 2359, UTC, on Friday, night. And so that gives us, you know, roughly, 58 hours, one would say, in which to do this. I have to, I have a couple of, real life things that need to get done, but I do intend to get this out by about, lunchtime, New York time, on the list, and hope that everyone will, review it quickly and, either, confirm, either by silence or by saying so that the, call has been captured correctly, or if they believe that it's not correctly, or that there's some further refinement that should be made to make it so. And then, well, we will just confirm, have the group confirm that this report as it stands, or as it will stand after that, reflects the consensus, not full consensus, but consensus of the group that will move forward. Caboose, your hand is up.
Yes, Greg, if you allow me, I have 2 points. It's not back to the report. It's just two smaller statements. The first statement is that although I may make the same thing in the plenary, but I would wish to mention that you have treated this very complex, controversial subject with all care, with patience, with competence, and with a lot of effort. Many, many drafts you have prepared, and listen to the people. Sometimes they had some emotional statement, but it was properly handled. So you deserve sincere appreciation. You were in a difficult position. It was not easy. You had many, many restrictions, limitations, and environmental conditions that you did not have free hand to do whatever you wish. You had to listen to everybody. You had to come up with something that makes everybody almost, I would say, equally unhappy. If you're not happy, equally unhappy. This is the first one. I will make it that, and you really deserve a sincere congratulations and a great verbal or whatever or physical applause and applaud by the colleagues participating at the meeting. This is the point number one. Point two, I would like to make that I have done it earlier in some other UN organizations. Whenever we have such a things, when you submit it to the plenary, you mentioned that this is the result of, you put whatever, so various hours and days and months and so on and so forth, but at the end you add, this is a delicate balance of the views of everybody. And it is recommended that the plenary treat that also with the same, I would say, balance of delicacy, and try to maintain that we would not reopen anything, because that would be totally counterproductive. Once open a book, open a paragraph, you open another paragraph, and that is consequence. So you put a sentence or a verbal to the delicate balance that you have reached during the discussion of this. These are the two things. We can live with that. It is not 100%. So I use your sentence. At least we tried our best not to make good enemy of perfection. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I really appreciate your words. They mean a lot to me. It's been a long haul through this group, and it has been delicate and has been taxing. I really appreciate your views. I see them shared by others, and I'm humbled as I've, you know, helped so many people with so many important contributions. to make, many of which did not agree with each other, but I think we came through this in a way that was able to establish a balance. We could perhaps have done even more, but again, as Cavus mentions, we can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. So, and I will take Cavus's suggestion up that when we submit this to the plenary, we will note that this is the result of many long hours of effort and, most importantly, represents a delicate balance between many different views and the development of a common position, or at least a consensus position, that needs to be taken into account as being the result of a delicate balancing. So thank you very much. Cavus probably said it better than I. I'll just say thank you. I think with that, as noted, we need to get our report, this last draft, out onto the list, make sure that it says what we expect that it will say based on this call and all the work before it. And then we will let our baby fly away to the plenary. I suppose it's a bird, in that case, not a baby. So I think on 4.1, as I understand it, where we came to rest was that there would be more general sentences noting that the comments were taken into account that were in support of the document, these were not reflected, and that comments which did not change the consensus also are not reflected in the report. So I guess in terms of 4.1, Tiago is suggesting a particular paragraph on the jurisdiction-related concerns issue. And his revised text now reads, the late suggestion added to the report that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed, in particular on jurisdictional immunities, found echo in several comments subsequently received. But these comments did not bring any changes to the report, nor could they be considered in detail on the understanding that the existing support for further discussions to address unresolved concerns, including other fora, had already been acknowledged. Is there any other comment on this suggestion? David says still needs to go to the list. Are there any other opinions, pro or con, on Tiago's suggestion that we call this out in particular? And I guess the question is, would we not comment on other comments? I was hopeful that a more generic comment on how comments were dealt with would be sufficient, and that we wouldn't try to move into specific discussion of specific portions of specific comments and how they may or may not relate to specific aspects of the report. David, I'm not sure I understand your comment in the chat. If you could maybe take the microphone and explain.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley speaking for the record. I was just agreeing with your point that shouldn't we also summarize other comments. With respect to the language that's drawn up, my plan is to look at it on the list and then look at it in the context in which it appears. So thanks.
Thank you, David. Well, I would suggest as a late addition that has not, you know, come into the report that this be submitted separately to see whether there is, whether this gets traction in the group, since we really don't have now time to discuss it further. We've lost two or three people. So we can submit it to the list and see what the result is. Tiago, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago speaking for the record. So on this call, I see that there is some support from Cavus, from myself, from Jorge as well. But I think it is reasonable to do as David suggests, that is to send it to the list and see whether there is opposition to it. So as I can say, there is some support to the addition of my suggested paragraph. And then I think it would be reasonable to see whether in the list there would be opposition. So, I'm being very explicit in using the word opposition here, because this is the standard that we have been applying to the other comments. Thank you.
And so what is the objective of this statement, the reason that this is needed specifically, in addition to the general statement, sentences that would be added about how comments are handled?
Tiago speaking again. Well, the point was raised not just by me, but also by Steve before, and it would give some satisfaction to the only comments, I understand, that were not actually considered in detail. And the reason why they were not considered in detail, and this was acknowledged by Steve himself, was because there were perhaps the implicit understanding within the subgroup that the further discussions that might eventually take place already took care of the comments in this regard. So I the specific reference to this point is, you see, was at the comments on the need for further discussions on jurisdiction-related concerns, to my understanding, were the only ones that were not really took into account, because of this understanding that they were already taken into account. And the paragraph that I suggested intended to show this. Not more than that, just that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I'm a little troubled by the idea that we would want to imply that certain comments were less taken into account than others. That's not really my recollection of how we worked, that we took all comments equally into account, whether they changed the report or not. So I don't think we glossed over any comments. And I would also note that what you're citing as Steve's support was actually his mistaken recollection that we had added language in response to France's comment when we in fact had not. So I think it's probably not really quite correct to find support in what Steve had to say. So I am just in a bit concerned with the idea that we would imply that some comments received less consideration than others, or that the late addition of the further considerations paragraph reflected any kind of a late thinking that there should be further discussions of jurisdiction. I don't think anybody thought that this subgroup was the last discussion about jurisdiction in ICANN. So I think this can be submitted to the list. The standard of non-objection, Tiago, has generally been applied to things which have already been kind of broadly accepted within the group and given some time for consideration. The problem is that this really hasn't reached that, and there have been many other times when we have sought support when it is something that is, you know, this early in the development. Since essentially this is, what we're trying to find ultimately is consensus. And whether we find consensus, by assuring ourselves that what seems to be broadly supported, does not have significant objections, sometimes that is done by looking for objections, where it seems fairly obvious that there is broad support. And sometimes we do that by, looking for support where so far the support seems to come from a narrow group. It would be unfortunate to try to put something into the document that does not reflect the consensus of the group. Tiago, I don't know if that's a new hand or an old hand. It looks like an old hand. Now it's a new hand.
It is a new hand. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Tiago speaking again. I was just going to say that in this call, there was some support for my text, and I don't even think that David objected to it. He only let the text should be submitted to the list. So I would again caution against not taking it into account, and particularly because I believe that once the report goes to the SOs and ACs for final consideration, it would be a shame if, for example, GAP members feel that their comments were not considered at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I will certainly put this to the list, and I think GAC members can rest assured that in fact their comments and participation have been fully taken into account. It would be regrettable if any impression was conveyed to the opposite. But in any case, we will take your language to the list and see what the response is. And of course, we have, roughly, as I said, less than 60 hours to get this done. So, and our call is now over. So what I will do is, as soon as possible, turn this back to the list, including your suggestion, and we will see what the response of the list is. With that, I think we can call this call adjourned, and I thank you all for your participation, and we can stop the recording. Goodbye, all.